Welcome to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast, where I interview some of the best coaches in the business to find their secrets and share them with the world. I'm Scott Rittheimer, founder and CEO of Scale Architects, and we help founders and leaders find the right coach at the right time so they can achieve the predictable success they deserve. And a huge part of that is helping great coaches do great work that creates enormous demand for their services with way less effort. If you're a high demand coach, I'd absolutely love to share your story and expertise as well. So stick around to the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Secrets of the High Demand Coach podcast. And I am here with yet another high demand coach, and that is the one, the only Jim Belidis. Now, he is a best-selling author. He's a lawyer and an entrepreneur all in one. There's very few people who can say they've done all three of those things and done them as well as Jim has. He also mentors and CEOs and business leaders at Pinnacle Global Network, an organization that helps CEOs who are stuck at seven figures. And he's helped over 100 CEOs find their vision, scale their business, and double and even triple their revenue while highlighting their inspiration to excel in re-engaging to build multi-million dollar companies. So with his unique blend of business expertise, he can guide his clients to identify what's killing their vision and help them find their zone of genius. Well, Jim, I'm so excited about this conversation. Can't wait to dive in here. I'm just wondering, add a little color to this story. How do you move from being, you know, lawyer, entrepreneur, author, to stepping into the role you're now in mentoring other CEOs and business leaders?
Completely by accident, to be honest with you. So my wife's a visionary. She just really is good at vision. I'm excellent at implementation. I'm an implementer. I'm very, very good. It's my superpower. If you give me a problem, I can solve it. There's a difficulty, though. There's a disconnect between the visioner and the implementer. Many of us as CEOs or as entrepreneurs, we deal with that where we can't get anybody to hear us or to do what we're asking them to do, and we get a lot of pushback. What I found out was I was vision killing. I was vision killing her vision. What she wanted to do. She wanted to serve 1.5 million babies. My advice wasn't bad advice. It just was untimely. It wasn't the time for it. And so I went on this quest to solve this problem for myself. And as I did, I started to see remarkable results. That led me into sharing it with other CEOs. Pretty soon people were saying, well, you should do this, you know, for CEOs. And then I did that 4 or 5 years. Now I'm addressing it in this book, Vision Maker. Clearly was not on my radar 7, 8 years ago.
Well, so you mentioned it here, and I'd love to just hear a little bit more about it, but you've got a book out now. It just came out in February, and it's called Vision Maker, 3 weeks to creating a powerful directive that will inspire your team and ignite your business. So what's the big idea in the book? What are you hoping that readers will get out of it?
Three things that I think are crucial to a vision. You know, how often do we create a vision nowadays and we put it in the drawer someplace? We don't feel connected to it. When I ask CEOs oftentimes to say, well, I have a vision, and I say, well, what is it? And they give me a whole bunch of words that have no heart to it. They're not connected to it. If I ask their employees, they have no clue, or they have a general vague idea, or it's a social cause they don't believe in. And so what we really want to do is we want to become very, very honed in on making a compelling vision. One that attracts people, acts like a magnet, pulls us along, pulls our clients along, and then gets people even that don't do business with us to refer to us. Employees want to work with us. And so we're no longer having to deal with employee problems. These are the features of the book, and I give it in three simple steps. First, the vision has to be bigger than you. If it's only about you, nobody else cares. It's got to be bigger than, well, I want to make $1 million, or I guess it's 10 million now. That's the new number, right? Or I want to do this, I want to serve my client well. That's about you doing something for your client. While the client may benefit for it, It's not really like a big vision. The second is, and this is the key component that we miss in our society right now, collaboration. Not collaboration on how to do it, but on collaboration on what that vision is in the first place. We enroll people when we collaborate. They get excited about it and they start owning it themselves. That's crucial. And then third is to express it out to the world consistently in an ongoing fashion.
Well, yeah, I'd love
to give you the book.
That's fantastic. So we'll make sure folks know how to get a copy of it here toward the end of the show. But I want to dive into this a little bit. And first off, you talked about, you know, it used to be $1 million. Now it's $10 million. Whatever that number is, there tends to be this kind of arbitrary line that each entrepreneur has that if I can get to that line, I will be successful. My business will be okay. I'll be happy. There's some kind of, and tell me if your experience differs, but I found that most folks, once they get there, there's the elation of having accomplished it, and it doesn't last long. They find out that businesses get bigger, they don't really get better. So what is it, how is it that vision can carry us through that challenge of what end up becoming false finish lines?
That's a great question. It is the fundamental difference between a goal and I achieve the goal and a vision where I feel like I'm doing something with purpose. So we can set a goal. I want to make that $10 million. I want to have a company. I want to have 600 employees. I want to have, you know, whatever your number is. And you achieve that goal and you go, okay, now what? But when you have a vision of something that you really want to accomplish in your life, you really want to put that, you know, that legacy that some people refer to, that on your tombstone, what you want, that nurturing inside of you, that craving inside of you to do something important that you really want to do, then suddenly when you achieve it, it's so big, by the way, that you may not achieve it for years, but you can see incrementally each change, each goal that's achieved, you're going, yes, I'm getting closer to that vision. When you can do that, it's magical. It is honestly magical how it generates the revenue you need and it helps you to overcome all of the problems of operating the business, allows you to grow, and then people start getting involved with your company. And by the way, it can be done with any company. I mean, I gave this idea to a painting contractor of all people with employee issues because it was hard to keep and maintain employees, especially back east when it's snowing, right? You're trying to paint the outside of a house, there's no way. And yet he was able to double and triple revenue within 1 year just by thinking in this bigger way. So that's the incredible part about it. And it doesn't feel hollow when you're getting there. It's because all of a sudden you're feeling like even more elated, you want to go even bigger than yet, right?
Yeah, it reminds me of a story of a conversation I had with a gentleman who was leading a financial services business. I had asked him what his vision was, and you know, long story short, he comes back to me and says, you keep talking about this word vision. I don't know what that means. He said, my dad started this company, and when I started working for him, he told me that I have to have 10 appointments booked for next week, and that's what drives success in this industry. Every week since then, I've had 10 appointments booked for next week. I've sold 3 and 5 times what anybody else does. Sounds super successful, but the reason why we're having the conversation is he was totally burned out. His team was frustrating him like crazy. They all felt stuck. They couldn't move forward. And he could not wrap his mind around this idea of vision. So someone who's there, I mean, they're like, yeah, that sounds so wonderful. I can barely even think about what I'm going to do by the end of today, right? Let alone what I'm going to do decades from now. How do we, is it that you have to create margin? What are those first steps to just giving yourself the room to dream again?
I think that you summed it perfectly. Give yourself the room to start dreaming bigger. Oftentimes, I want to do 10 appointments a day. Still do that. That's successful. There's no question about it. You got to implement the steps in order to accomplish the goal. The goal is I need a certain amount of revenue per month, per year, per whatever, right? But when you start putting meaning to it, that is, you start attaching relevance to something deep inside of you, the burnout goes away and you're actually excited and it becomes easier. Your 10 appointments becomes 4 because your conversion rate is higher, because people want to do business with you. your 10 that you went out and looked for are now 6 because the other 4 are calling you because they want to do business with you. Financial services business is a perfect example. Why does somebody want to do business with you? Is your unique selling proposition that you do better? You provide better information. You have better rates. You have this, you have that. None of that's fulfilling. That's just haggling. Who wants to haggle your whole life?
Yeah.
Right? So what we want to try and do is we want to try and find something that connects us. So the first step is to recognize you're a vision killer if you're in that space. He was me. When I started to realize I'm vision killing, everything that I had, I went to, how am I going to get that done? Let's be pragmatic, Jim. How am I going to get that done? Instead of, well, why don't I just start talking about it and start collaborating with people around me for the ideas that really are bigger? But for me, for instance, it was, oh, I don't want to be a lawyer. I want to own another business, maybe 2. And I want to have streams of income. As a lawyer, when I was working 40, 50 hours a week, no chance. I got too much to do. When I started opening this door and started thinking bigger and talking with people, soon enough an opportunity came my way. I said, oh yeah, okay, let's do that. And it was perfect. It was perfect. And that company went from 3 to 10 to $23 million in 3 years. That's my company. And the reason it went there is because we had the vision in no less computer hardware. Who has a vision in computer hardware? We did. That's when it starts to become something where it's magnetic, where it's powerful. That's the first step is recognize I'm vision killing. And so here's a trick. All vision killing is in how you're going to get it done. Achieve nothing. And you've got plenty of time on your drive to and from work to dream. To actually start thinking about what is it I really want to do and why do I want to do it? And then make it bigger than you. Yeah. Just keep thinking about it. And there's no time frame. There's no list to check off. I'm done. Okay, I figured it out. Just start recognizing that inside of you when you're burned out or burning out, there's something more that you want. And you're suppressing it because it doesn't seem feasible right now.
So you mentioned in your book this idea of a vision killer. You've brought it up a couple of times. What is the vision killer or who is the vision killer? And I mean, maybe even once you've identified it, what do you do about it?
So when we're children, our parents are our vision killers, aren't they? Let's think about it for a second. How often do we see a child say, well, I'm going to be the president of the United States? And that's good. You know, you'll get there someday. Or, hey, I want to be a dancer. Oh, you need to do something that makes money. Or, hey, you know, I want to be an artist or I want to be a writer. No, no, you can't be a writer. You need to be a lawyer like your dad is. We start vision killing because we start talking about what's feasible, what's reasonable, what you need to do now. And so it's our friends. It's our family. It's our coworkers. It's our CFO. If you're a CEO, I guarantee you your CFO, unless they're on board with a great vision, are saying to you, well, you got to limit this, you don't spend that, make sure you're here, make sure we have this financial things. They're challenged to protect you. It's people that protect you or want to protect you that are your vision killers. So here's the way to handle that. When a vision killer starts to pee on your rainbow, as my wife says, what you can do is you can say, hey, listen, sounds to me like you're in execution. How to get it done. Play with me for a little bit in vision. Just play with me. There's 3 things in that phrase that is very powerful. First of all, when you say the word play, you give permission for them to take off their I got to protect you hat and play with you. Like a child plays with an adult on the floor with blocks, right? No purpose, just play. The second thing is it provides a very clear understanding of what is execution and what is vision or this dreaming or this expectation of how big can we go. And the third is it provides excitement because you are now the leader rather than the follower. When you say, hey, it sounds like you're in execution, you're helping them to understand and communicate with you in a level that allows you to lead the conversation into what you really want to try and achieve here. Yeah. And then it just works.
Yeah. And yeah, I love that. I mean,
you've shared it over and over again.
Yeah, the workplace is chronically short on play, right? We've actually contrasted work and play as they're different things. That is such a powerful point. And I also just want to repeat this idea that the people who are tasked with protecting you tend to be the ones who are most likely to kill your vision. They become the vision killers. And it's not because they're doing something wrong. You mentioned this from the very get-go. It's because they do it at the wrong time. And
what's happened?
Go. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, how do we navigate that, right? How do you know? Well, let's say there's someone who's an implementer, and they know that there's this big dream, but we're heading off the rails if we're not careful. How do they know when it's time to bring that critical insight, to ask the question how, versus time to just play and explore the dream without popping bubbles?
The more that you collaborate, the more that the doer starts to realize that other people have pieces of the puzzle, and then they start to see it put together. Let me give you an example. Suppose I say, hey, let's feed the world. Oh, I can just see in a room, half the people are going to roll their eyes. Oh, no. You know, here's one of those guys that, you know, I don't know who he is. I don't know anything about him. I'm not sure he can get it done. Yeah, okay. And then I say, oh, and by the way, I talked with Elon Musk yesterday. He's going to give me $1 billion to get us started. Oh, all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute. Okay. So the more we collaborate with other people on our vision, not on how to do it, on the vision itself, and get them excited, the more resources that bring to play. And then by bringing those resources together, the doer is so motivated because they, oh my gosh, I see that. I see that person. We can contact them. We can utilize them. They volunteered to give us this piece of the puzzle. Yeah. And they can put the pieces together seamlessly without them having to say, okay, we're done visioning. Let's set the goal. Now let's start working on the goals. Because then you start going into this sort of, I don't know, it's so fun. It's not fun to just go, okay, you know, for the visioner, it's not. Okay, you know, we had this great vision. Let's feed the world. Okay, now, first thing, you got to make 100 calls. Second thing, you got to have 5 events, da, da, da. And then you're in this parade of stuff that you didn't want to do necessarily.
Yeah.
But if you met the right person who loves doing the events,
yeah,
and the other person who really is good at just making the phone calls, and you're that visionary leader, then you can see how it just works so much more toward your superpowers.
I would say one of the things you're dialing in on is the difference between what I would call a natural visionary and a skilled visionary, right? There are lots of people who are naturally inclined toward vision. That doesn't make them skilled at it. And when you look at an unskilled visionary, they tend to be thinking about their vision. They tend to be thinking about what they want in the world. But you're bringing this piece, you're leveling us up and saying, hey, no, it's about bringing others in to collaborate on that. And to do that, you just have to communicate differently, right? You have to think a little bit differently. But you're right, it's what brings the power for a team to really move toward those results together. So I've got a question I'd love to ask you. I ask all my guests, and it's this. What is the biggest secret you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing you wish everybody watching or listening today knew?
That soon AI is going to make the idea of making things perform better by a human obsolete. It will do it faster and better if it's already been created. What I would love is for us to recognize sort of a new coming of idea. We need to be the creator. Create from nothingness. The computer AI cannot create from nothing. Yeah. It has to have a point of reference and build from the point of reference. This is our zone of genius. This is where we need to go. This is where I think as a world we want. This is the promotion, the big vision of my book. It's not to sell the books or to tell people, hey, you know, go out and become a visionary. It's to change our world. Imagine if we had more leadership and vision in our country right now. I don't think anybody would disagree. We're feeling a little lost here. Or in some of the major social issues that are facing us, environmental issues, all the things that are coming to bear. So the intention is here, that we need to, we've been 60, 70 years here making things better. Wouldn't it be great if we started just creating from nothing the things that we only dream about at this moment?
Yes.
That would be a great message, and one that I'm trying to tell as many people as I can.
I love it. It is. It is the distinctly human thing about us, and our, you're right. It's something AI can never compete with. I absolutely love that. Even if you take AI out of the picture, let's take our financial services friend, right? It is the thing that separates him from the 19 other people on the same street who do the same thing. It is what makes us distinctly human, and it is our unique selling proposition, is us, and it's our ability, like you're saying, to go from zero to one. I absolutely love that. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit on you. I want to have you take off your mentor, advisor, and coach hat. I want you to put on your CEO hat of Gym Inc., if you will, and talk to us, what's the next stage of growth look like for you and your business, and what challenge will you have to overcome to get there?
I have to get on the stage, I think, and speak to larger audiences for the next year. I've discontinued coaching for a year for the purpose of just getting this message out and getting it heard and seeing if people resonate with it, want to join in the concept. And imagine in 2 years, we have a conference strictly devoted to vision, where you come to the conference, you hear other people speaking about vision. I would love to have like a database or a social media platform or a meeting place where people could come and talk about their vision and find other people that have similar vision interests and they want to collaborate together. Wouldn't that be powerful? And I would love to have like a bank of visions that people could say, hey, you know what? I'm kind of bored. I'd like to really start supporting something, but I don't want to just give donation. I want to do something, you know, that's meaningful to me. Yeah, whose vision can I jump onto? Those are the kinds of things that I'm thinking that, you know, are way over how I'm going to get that done this year. What? I have no clue, but that's the vision. And that's where I'm headed.
I love that. There's always time for the how, right? There's always, it never feels like there's ever time for the how, but there's always time for the how. And I love that you're modeling what you've been talking about all along. It's just stepping into that dream, stepping into that vision and allowing the resources to come.
And don't think it doesn't come without the vision killer speaking behind me in my head saying, hey, who are you? What, you know, you're going to create a conference of visionaries? I don't know these people. You know, I don't hang out in that $250 billion meeting room and, you know, this is what we're going to give this month. I'm not that person. So how do I do that? It's so easy to fall into, well, then I guess really I shouldn't do it. Well, you can't let it hold you back from what you want to do. There's one little thing that I give a lot of examples in the book that were precluded from me here, right? Because of time constraint. But the idea is, if you need some idea, like some how do I figure out even what I want to start thinking about as a vision? That's what the book is for. I take you through a process over 3 weeks. And the process is the same as I've used for the CEOs I've mentored. So you'll come out of that with something powerful. And who knows? I mean, maybe you'll be calling me and saying, hey, you know what? I love your vision too, and let's do it together.
That's fantastic. Well, Jim, it's just awesome having you here. How can folks get a copy of your book where can they find it?
You can go to visionmakerbook.com and you can use that. The quickest and easiest is Amazon. You can just order Vision Maker Book on Amazon. You'll find the link there and it'll be shipped out to you quickly. If you reach out to me at jim@visionmaker.net, and that's vision-maker.net. I always respond and who knows? So you might get a signed copy.
Fantastic. Well, Jim, thank you so much for being on the show. It's an absolute privilege having you here. Folks, if you're listening, head on over to Vision Maker Book or to Amazon, get a copy of his book, Vision Maker, 3 weeks to creating a powerful directive that will inspire your team and ignite your business. Jim, thanks so much for being here. For those of you watching and listening, you know your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did, and I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast. If you are a successful coach, consultant, or advisor who's built a strong book of business and would like to be on the program, please visit go.scalearchitects.com. And if you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media and just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials? If you know someone who'd be a great guest, you can tag them on social media to let them know about the show. And make sure you include the hashtag #HighDemandCoaching. I love seeing your posts. I love seeing your guest suggestions. Thank you so much. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any of those episodes, go ahead and subscribe now. Your thumbs up, your ratings, your reviews, they go a long way to help us promote the show, and they mean a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, you can go to our website, www.scalearchitects.com, or you can follow me or the company on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.